So let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and let's read verses 16 through 18. John chapter 3, and verse 16. Let's start there. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And just before we start, let's just center in, agree in prayer that we'll receive this evening, and not just receive, but receive enlightenment, but that we'll purpose to do. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit who lives on the inside of us, who reveals and unfolds your word to us. We look to you, Holy Spirit, for guidance and direction this evening and enlightenment. And we thank you that you not only live in us, but you've been sent as the helper, the comforter, our guide, our standby. And we thank you this evening that as we put our hearts and minds upon this lesson, that you will unfold and reveal, you will think through our minds and reveal and unfold this word in a way that we've not received it. You will enlighten us. We believe that, and as we see, we purpose to do. We will not only just be hearers of your word, but doers thereof. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we were sharing on Sunday, this particular series of messages on hearing from God, our desire is that we hear him clearly and more accurately. And I was sharing on Sunday that this particular scripture verse that we were reading from in John chapter 16, "I have yet many things to say unto you," I believe that applies to us. There are yet many things that God desires to show us and to speak to us. And I was sharing on Sunday that it is the history of this ministry. It took 24 years to reach a certain place, and the Holy Spirit at that time, who spoke through Brother Copeland to Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, said that it took this long to build this foundation because of what it's going to have to support. So that means to me that we're not done. We're really just starting. And yet you'd think, wow, it took all this time to lay a foundation, but he said that's because of what it's going to have to support. And that means there's going to be many things that are going to be built on top of this foundation. And so that means there's many things he needs to show all of us and reveal to all of us concerning this work. And in this particular scripture verse, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you." And we also saw in here that he shall speak to us and he will show us things to come. So he will guide us, he will speak to us, and he will show us things to come. So we can look to the Spirit of God to guide us, to show us, and or to speak to us, and to show us things to come. And I was sharing on Sunday that there are three primary ways that the Spirit of God will speak to us. One is the inward witness. Two is the still small voice. You know, your spirit. See, this is what I'm going to kind of focus on a little bit tonight, is the inward witness. And then some other lessons we'll share on the inward, still small voice. And then three, the other is just the voice of the Spirit of God, a more authoritative voice. And we're not talking, you will know the difference. You will know the difference between a still small voice and an authoritative voice. If you've ever experienced it, I have, you will think someone is speaking in the room, and not just lightly, but I mean it's loud enough that you think, who's in here? And that has happened to me in a time of prayer. So the inward witness, and let's turn over to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses 14, starting there. And one of the things that as we share in this lesson, our desire is that the more that you meditate in this, the more aware that you become of your spirit. Because the more you are aware of your spirit, the more aware you will be of his witness. The more aware you are of your spirit, I'm talking about your human spirit, not the Holy Spirit, the more aware you are of you, your spirit, the more aware you will be of the inward witness. Now, I'm going to bring you over to chapter 8 of Romans, and you want me to, I'll support that with the scripture. In Romans chapter 8, and look at verse number 5. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Things that your mind, in other words, if your mind is not on something, your heart can't be in it. If your mind is not on something, your heart's not in it. If your mind is on it, your heart's in it. I'm going to show you that right here in the scripture. That's why it's important, as you become more aware of your spirit, you'll become more aware of the inward witness. What am I saying? The more aware you are of your spirit, that is spiritual, the more you will become aware of spiritual things. So what you put your mind on is what your heart will be on. I'm saying it another way. So that's why it's important that you are very conscious of the things that you put your mind on. Because those things that you entertain with your mind, you open up your spirit to. So here's what we have here. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the what? Flesh do what? Stop right there. Do what? Do mind. They do mind. They put their mind on what? Fleshly things. So when you put your mind on fleshly things, you do mind the things of the flesh. I'm going to be right up frank with you. That is not just something that's sexual. Flesh is anything that's carnal that's not of God. And we could run down a whole list of things. I'm on Facebook. I see some of the stuff that folks are poking and talking about. And it's carnal. And it's fleshly. And they got their minds on stuff that's flesh. And they open their heart up to fleshly things that are not spiritual. And what does that verse continue to say? It says, but they that are after the Spirit, you could say, do mind the things of the Spirit. So when you place your mind on spiritual things, you open up your spirit to spiritual things, and you become more aware of your spirit because it's a spirit. And God speaks to us. Our spirit is what? The candle of the Lord, which means he communicates with us and to us where? In my spirit. So when I'm thinking on, when I put my mind on fleshly things, am I going to be as sensitive and aware of my spirit? No. I'm going to be carnal, and as they used to say, a meathead. Isn't that true? That's why I'm aware. I see things when you see the things going on in society and kind of pulling and drawing people in, church people, into fleshly things. They've got their mind on it. They're talking about it. They're texting about it. They're Facebooking about it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Why you got your mind on it? Because what you put your mind on, you open your heart up to, and you begin to desensitize this to its awareness to God, even hearing God clearly. So we're going to have to make some choices about what we put our mind on. Real quiet in here in this Protestant church here tonight. I'm very serious. I see people caught up in this whole race thing, and it troubles my spirit. You know, I'll tell you, for years, I traveled with Pastor Clinton and Sarah. For years, I did. I went with them to the National Religious Broadcasters. I interacted with them outside the church. And I saw how they interacted with people. And I heard them talk to people. What you saw in the pulpit, and I was around them, not all the time, I didn't live in their house, but enough that I got a sense of how they thought. And I'm going to tell you something. They were involved in all, Pastor Sarah talked about it, Pastor Clinton talked about it. They were involved. They grew up in the era when there were racial issues, real racial issues. Not to say that there aren't today. But when they got born again, they began to say, I'm a new creature in Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And they taught that. And they wanted to reach people to tell them, look, you don't have to live. You can live above that. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but when you start putting your mind on that, you get drawn into it, and your heart's opened up into it, and you get sucked right into it. And so here, and it can be whatever it is, whatever the devil finds that you want to get drawn into, let me tell you, it may not be that, it could be something else. Whatever you want to be drawn into, he'll put this little carrot out here and just say, hey, look at this. And you go, yeah, and you put your mind on it. And you get drawn into it. It doesn't have to be race. It could be something else. Whatever that thing is that just hits your button. But you need to be, if you're going to hear from God clearly, we need to drop stuff like a hot potato and say, no, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm putting my mind on spiritual things so I can hear him clearly. What do you want? If you really want that, you want to hear God clearly, then you're going to have to make some choices. We all are. As we grow spiritually, there's some things we're going to have to decide and make decisions about what we entertain in our thought life. I mean, it can be, we're moving into this whole political season, and I'm going to tell you right now, you better hear from God. Because the problem is the church is being pulled in 99 different directions, and they're talking about what they think and what their opinion is of this person and that. What's God's opinion? What is his opinion? And you better put your mind on spiritual things. Amen. Goes right there. Hallelujah. See, because here's the thing. Now look at verse 6. See, this isn't the lesson tonight, but I just feel impressed to share this. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. So that means that when you put your mind on carnal, fleshly things, you open your spirit up to what you're thinking on. What do you open yourself up to? Death. You open your spirit up to death. What? Death-filled stuff. And when you put your mind on spiritual things, see this right here, to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So when you put your mind on spiritual things, you open your heart up to life and peace. And I'll tell you one thing, you can tell what people are meditating on. All you got to do is look at them. If they're frustrated and anxious, what are they meditating on? It can't be life and peace. See, death can mean, you know, the whole fruit of that is fear, anxiety. What is all of that? That's what you're meditating on. That's what you're looking at. See, that goes with all of us. You know, I'm getting to the place I go, nope, not looking at that. Not entertaining it, not reading it, no. Because I want to hear God clearly. We're getting in a season in this, not just now, but I mean the season that we're walking into. It's becoming clearer and clearer. You want to be at the right place at the right time? You don't want to be where you're not supposed to be? You want to know that I should be buying this and not buying this? Going here, doing this? You want to know you're at the right place. And you're not going to do that by constantly meditating. And I just say it this way, 6 days a week we're thinking about carnal things, fleshly things, and 1 day a week or 2 days a week we're thinking about spiritual things. It doesn't work. See. So let's look at Romans chapter 8 and let's pick up in verse 14. It says here that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit And most of the modern translation says himself. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So when we talk about the inward witness, we're talking about, I'll just say it this way, we're talking about an inward perception, a spiritual sense, an impression, an awareness. That awareness, think about this, the Lord, when he spoke to Brother Hagin or appeared to him, the primary way, not the only way. So don't go away thinking it's the only way. It's the primary way that he leads his children, his church, is through the inward witness, an inward knowing. That is not a voice. That is not a voice. That's an inward knowing. Turn for a minute, keep your finger there, and just go over to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and look at chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter 1, and look right at the beginning. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. What does verse 3 say? What does it say? It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. It doesn't say the Holy Ghost spoke to him to write this book. It doesn't say Jesus appeared to him. It says it seemed good. It was an inward knowing, an inward perception, an inward leading. This seems right. It just seems right. I ought to do this. See? And there's other places that we can look in the book of Luke also where it says it seemed right. So the inward witness, as we said, it's an inward knowing that we all have. But it also is going to require that we get quiet and be quiet so that we can do what? Hear our spirit. If we're busy and our mind is busy, then sometimes you don't hear your spirit speaking. See? You don't hear this inward knowing. And when I say your spirit speaking, there's an inward knowing, an inward witness, but also in being quiet, your spirit has a voice. You'd say your conscience. And your conscience will lead you and guide you. And let me read these from Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Well, let me just read 16 in the King James Version. It says, the Spirit himself testifies, this is the New International Version, testifies with our spirit that we are the children, that we are God's children. The Complete Jewish Bible says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirits. So right here, this is talking about a co-witness. That means your spirit has a voice, and the Spirit of God says, right. There's a co-witness. What does that mean? He agrees with or not with your spirit, right? A co-witness. The Way translation says, the Spirit himself bears witness along with our own spirits. He bears witness. So whether you have a still small voice or your spirit is leading you, this, you may say, well, my spirit's leading me to do this. And then there's this inward check. That's a co-witness. You have people say, I just feel led to do this. And then when you start going, it's like something doesn't feel right about this direction. That's the co-witness. And I was sharing on Sunday along these lines that, yes, we do, during the ministry of giving and other things that we do in life, we say, ask the Lord. But let me ask the question, what if the Lord doesn't say anything? Do you just sit? You get up and do something, move. And in that moving, he will direct. And I was hearing this little story by Pastor Tim Rogers. And a few years ago, he was asked to receive the offering at camp meeting out at Rhema. And at that time, leading up to that meeting, he was asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give? We want to give, the church wants to give an offering, a nice offering. What do you want us to give? What do you want us to give? What do you want us to give? What do you want us to give, Lord? What do you want us to give, Lord? And he kept asking. And he said, this is what Pastor Tim said, finally the Holy Spirit said to him, what do you want to give? What do you want to give? And so a lot of times we keep asking the Lord, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And so there are times the Lord, he leaves things up to us. Choose what you will. What do you want? And I say it this way, and I was using this example on Sunday. If you're in a car and you see a green light, do you slow down? Do you stop? Green means what? Go. So if you don't get a yellow and you don't get a red, you don't slow down. So that's my point. That you ask the Lord for direction. You ask him for his input. If he doesn't give you anything, keep going. Keep moving. If you get a yellow or a red, that's the co-witness. Slow down or stop. And sometimes we're waiting on God to tell us something and we're not doing anything. That means get up and do something. Move in a direction. That's why a lot of times they have this kind of little, I don't want to call it a joke, but it's just a comment that we have a lot of people that go out to Rhema, to Bible school, and there's a whole lot of people that have graduated that have just made Tulsa their home. And they're waiting on the Lord for direction to do something. When there's a whole world to reach. Get up, do something. And in doing, he'll direct. See? So the point here is that we need to, in being led by the Spirit of God, there's a co-witness, there's an inner conviction. The J.B. Phillips shares it this way, the Spirit himself endorses. I like this. This is another way of putting it. You can look this up in the J.B. Phillips translation. You can look at this online. This is Romans chapter 8, 16. The Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction. Isn't that a good way of putting it? So you have an inward conviction. He says yes. He endorses it. Or he says no. See, you have an inward conviction. How many of us have had that? Oh yeah, I got this. We're doing this. See? Now you're either going to do one of two things. You're either not listening. See? And there's this little, no, you shouldn't do that. Slow down. Or you're not aware of your own spirit. He endorses our inward convictions. That, in this case, it says here that we really are the children of God. The Knox translation says, the Spirit himself thus assures our spirit. Uh, Yeah, the easy to read version says the Spirit himself speaks to our spirits and makes us sure. So that he's confirming. See? So we may get something, it says here, we're going to get something, we can get something in our heart, in our spirit, a conviction, and God, by his Spirit, will endorse that. Confirm or not. And this is what we're talking about, being more aware. That's why I brought up this scripture over here. What you place your mind on will open your heart up to. So we need to be more conscious or more aware, more selective of the things that we're thinking about, meditating upon. And I'm sure we all, you know, if you're doing all right, then I'm sure you know somebody that you could pray for. Let's turn over. You're in Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 9. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's another thought. Did you get to Romans chapter 9? Yeah, we're going to look at verse 1. But here's another thought. The inward witness will never contradict the Word of God. So the primary way that we are led, I didn't say the only way, but the primary way that we are led is by the Word of God and the inward witness. And the inward witness will never, ever, ever contradict the Word of God. You know, you have this conviction, I think I ought to do this, but if I'm going to go over here, I can find something in this book that contradicts that conviction. Then that didn't come from the Spirit of God. That was you. Yeah, that's what that was. That was you. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. What does it say? My conscience, or you could say your spirit, also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So, another way, let me read this in the New Living Translation. It says, in the presence of Christ, I speak with utter truthfulness. I do not lie, and my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm that what I'm saying is true. He confirms what you're saying is true. In this case, in this here. But if you have an inner conviction and you're moving in a direction, he will confirm or endorse that. The Way translation, it says, I am telling you the truth as a Christian man. It is no falsehood, for my conscience enlightened, as it is by the Holy Spirit, adds its testimony to mine. He adds his testimony, his endorsement. These are just another way of saying. The Amplified, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience, enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with me. Amen. So he bears witness. And another thought to keep in mind is that your conscience has to be clear. So the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, but your spirit, your conscience, needs to be clear in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we're saying, this is the inward man, this is not the outward, this is the inward man. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 here for a minute. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. says here, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. What is he? He is a witness to us. Who? To your spirit. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that, he had said before. Let me read this in the Good News Translation. It says, and the Holy Spirit also gives us his witness. So the Holy Ghost will give us his witness. And the New Living Translation says, and the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. So the Holy Ghost will testify to us that it's correct. It's so. Amen. Glory to God. Let me read this again. This is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He hath it. So that means you have the witness in you. The key becomes that you're more aware of it. You're aware of his witness or co-witness. So we need to become aware of. I'll give you, let's use some examples where we all live. How many might get into a conversation with someone, and the longer that conversation goes, you can tell, anybody ever sense this, I need to stop this conversation? And how many of us have continued right on talking because we just, you know, we're, let's say it this way, we're all learning to keep quiet, right? So we all have been in places where we get into a conversation, and instead of there being peace in my spirit about this conversation, there's this unsettled, there's a tightness down here, there's something that says, I ought to stop this conversation, right? Now that could be, let's put it in plain English here. That could be among your coworkers. That could mean home between husband and wife. That could mean, you know, friends, whoever that is, your church mates, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You get into a conversation, and the next thing you know, it's starting to go down a path, and you go, we ought to stop this conversation. Right? We've all been there. And so the bottom line is, when we get that little sense, if I don't have peace, that's an inward witness. If I don't have peace, if I don't have a green light, let's say it another way, if I'm getting a big fat stop, then what should we do? Stop. See, that's growing up spiritually. That's growing spiritually, because if we keep ignoring that, then what happens? That conversation really, for the most part, is not pleasing to God. It's grieving the Holy Ghost. That's why he's saying, stop this. Stop it. Don't talk about it. Leave it alone. Just say, praise the Lord. Well, let's talk about something else. Amen. And I'll tell you, you know, again, I'm learning to be quick now, very quick. Just, I got nothing to say. Got nothing to say. We may have started on this conversation, but you just kind of be the person that kind of just goes, boo. Let the other person, because if you don't engage, those folks will either walk away because you're not engaged in their conversation, or they'll just go, da, 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 right? They'll just shut down, right? And it'll just come to an end. That's for us being more aware of our spirit and hearing from him. That's hearing that inward witness and responding. And the more we do that, the more aware, the more we grow spiritually. Amen. So the witness of the Holy Spirit, as we said, I've got a couple of other scriptures before we close. We just want to look at this. I had them over here. Let me go up to this other page. Let's turn to Psalms. I want to look at a few over here. Let's look at Psalm 32, and let's look at verses 8 and 9. And I'm going to read from the King James, Psalm 38, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Look at verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. See, look at, there's a scripture here. Let me just read here. I had this written down over here. Just give me a second here. I had it. It talks about being led by the reins. Let me just see here if it's in this psalm here. 16:9. Nope, I don't have it. I'll find it here. But what he's saying here is, don't be like a horse or a mule that needs to have a bit in your mouth to be steered or directed. Let the reins of... Anybody ever know what a bit is in a horse? It's something that's in there that jerks the horse in a particular direction, whereas reins can be on a horse's snout and just the leather straps that just tap, and they'll move in a direction. Just lightly tap and they move. The reins can be attached to the bit and pull the horse. See, that's because they're stubborn. They ain't listening. They're not trained yet, so they need a bit to pull them. Whereas the reins just tap. Just lightly tap and the horse will move. See, so the Lord is saying, don't be like a horse or a mule that I got to use a bit to direct you. Let the reins direct you. And he talks about that. I don't have that scripture in front of me, but if somebody finds it, let me know as we're finishing up here. But he talks about that being led by the reins of the Spirit. Huh? The new century? What? No, that's not a scripture. That's a translation. You know what translation that is? I mean, what scripture that is? What particular verse? I just read that. Oh, in the New Century Version. Huh? No, that's not it. No, it's in Psalms. That's what I thought it was. Maybe 7. I was looking at 9. Maybe it was 7. Let's look at 7. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. 16:7. I went to 16:9. I was in the right spot, but yep. Psalm 16 and verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. The reins of your heart. So that just means a light instruction, a light touch. You understand? Not a bit to pull you. So as we're growing in the things of God, you know, we've all reached a certain place, a certain level. It's important that as we grow, primarily we keep our hearts and minds on spiritual things, praying in the Spirit more. There's another scripture that comes to mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. See? So if you're not in peace or perfect peace, that means your mind is on some other things that are not godly. And so when we're in turmoil about something, whatever that choice is that we have to make, then we need to keep our mind stayed on thee. What do we, you know, I think about Pastor Greg, I'm not talking about him, but things that he has shared, that when he was walking through some physical challenges, he was in anxiety about the symptoms because he would sit and look things up on the internet. What is your mind on? So you opened your mind up to that, and you opened up to fear, anxiety. So you opened up your heart to that. You see? So you put your mind on it. So when you put your mind on spiritual things, there's life and peace. It doesn't mean that we don't think about it, we don't weigh choices, but we don't meditate upon it. We put our mind on spiritual things, and you open your heart up to that, and you can hear God's direction clearly. See? Another way of saying it, I'm just kind of coming, what do they say, kind of going around this here. I just feel like tonight I need to be dancing around this particular thing here. When you have to make choices about something, I'm going to say it another way. Maybe folks will hook up with this. When you have to make choices about something, you place your mind on that, not to meditate upon it, but you're putting your mind upon it to get direction from God. Is that another way of saying it? So you're not sitting there meditating upon it. Oh God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You're thinking about it, not from an anxiety standpoint, but you're looking for God to give you direction about this that you have to make a choice on. Does that make sense? Because if I'm thinking about, and well, I'm not going to say that because he has spoken to me about some things that I was thinking about something else. That's his prerogative. But I will say there, more often than not, I'll share this. A number of years ago, the Lord said, I want you to start praying for and speaking to this mall next door and call it into the ministry. At that time, I didn't understand it. We still haven't seen all that it means, but it doesn't matter. So I began to do that and began to release words in faith. That went on for about 4 or 5 years. I would do that almost every day. As I would come through that area, I live close by, so I would come through that area
and I would release words, speak to it, and say, you're ours in Jesus' name. And then after about 5 years or more, I was home one day pondering that, just thinking about it, thinking, how are we going to take all of that? That was my thoughts. I was sitting there washing dishes in the sink. Not thinking about that. I was thinking about that spiritual thing. And I was thinking, how are we going to take all of this? And the Holy Ghost spoke. He said, the first building you're going to take is the Sears building. And I went, oh, I see it. Yes. Got it. Thank you. See, I have this note here somewhere. What did the scripture say about, was it Paul or Peter that said, as he thought on the vision, the Holy Ghost spoke to him? Peter. What did he do? What did he do? He thought on the vision. He was thinking about something spiritual. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Right? He wasn't thinking about what he was going to have for dinner. He wasn't thinking about his next campaign or where he was going to. He was thinking on the vision that he had just received. So that's kind of where I'm at with this tonight, and I'm focusing on that something that either God has spoken to you, something that you have to make a choice, you think on that. Lord, what should I do? And you get quiet and let him speak to you, let him direct you. Amen. Because he will. That which you place your mind upon, you open. If you place your mind upon getting direction from the Lord for, I'm going to say it another way, if you place your mind upon something that you need direction from the Lord, it's something spiritual, he will guide you. He will direct you. Not on gun smoke or the basketball game or the football game or whatever. Right? He will speak to us. So let's look at this as we close. Let's go back over to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at this again. This is a way we can become more aware of our spirit. We'll say it another way. This says here, let's read verse 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, we could say they do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that means you placed your mind on it, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me say this another way. When you put your mind on carnal things, it says to be carnally minded is death. Well, wouldn't you say death is darkness? Okay, so when I put my mind on carnal things, I just opened myself up to darkness. Blindness. So if I'm being carnally minded about something and I'm going to just place my mind on that, then I've shut down light that should come to my spirit to show me what to do. So what I'm opening myself up to is darkness, blindness to direction. See? So to be spiritually minded means that I'm going to keep my mind on spiritual things and God is going to direct my steps. He's going to guide me and show me what to do. Amen. That's enough for tonight, but I believe I've circled this enough. I didn't come here to teach this particular way tonight, but I believe that there's a purpose in it. And I believe there's a reason to kind of hone in on this, because this is where we live every day. We make choices, we think on things, we meditate on things, and we have to decide what we're going to meditate on. Is it going to be carnal or is it going to be spiritual? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That didn't sound too exciting, but anyways, as Brother Hagen used to say, say oh me if you can. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for enlightenment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing and unfolding your word in a way that we hadn't thought about it before. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for a closer walk with thee. Thank you that our desire is to hear you so clearly and to know you that we never miss it. We walk in love all the time. We walk in life and peace all the time. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We look to you, the greater one. You are becoming more real to us every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless God. Well, I hope you got a little something. Something to chew on. Something to think about. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're not going to keep you any longer. Let's say this as we're leaving. I hear his voice. And I am bearing witness to his witness clearer and clearer every day. And I choose to think on and put my mind on spiritual things, and those things that are carnal and fleshly, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for directing me and showing me to drop them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.